to The Catholic Sphere. Each week, we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. Today, we're discussing homeschooling and the many reasons it's a wonderful and viable option to consider and how your family can get started. My expert panel today includes Laura Berquist, founder of Mother of Divine Grace, Mary Ellen Barrett, editor for Seton Magazine, and Paula Siskanik, founder of the online Catholic homeschool community. Together, they boast over 75 years of combined experience homeschooling. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Laura, I'd like to start with you. As the mother of six now grown children who all used your homeschool curriculum, as the founder and CEO of Mother of Divine Grace Distance Learning School, and author of Designing Your Own Classical Curriculum, tell us, what motivated you to start homeschooling, and how does that line up with other families who have enrolled in Mother of Divine Grace?
I think that the three things that really motivated me, and that also motivate other families, is I wanted an excellent education for my children. I wanted them to have real socialization skills, especially family life skills, and I wanted them to have more opportunities for developing a relationship with God. These are available in homeschooling. As regards the education, parents know their children best. They have the grace of the sacrament, which is ordered to the procreation and education of children. So they have the tools that they need to develop their children's educational expertise. They are able to provide an individualized education. They're teaching one student, not a classroom. So it's tailored. And they're in charge of the pacing and the content, so they know it's appropriate to the child. They may not be experts in some particular field, but they do know when their student knows what he knows, and they don't let him move on until he does. So homeschooling is mastery education, and that's excellent education. Regarding the socialization skills, it has always seemed strange to me, even when I was a young student myself, that we should put our children in age-segregated groups for all of their early formative years to prepare them for a life where that will never happen again. It has also seemed strange that when most people's earthly happiness is found in happy family life, we should send our children away from their families and away from the opportunity to learn conflict resolution and age-integrated skills, self-sacrifice and responsibility as found in family life for most of their formative years. And as regards the religious formation of the students, when you're in control of the schedule, you can have a family prayer life. You can have the opportunity for daily rosary and daily mass. You have time to read excellent literature in the lives of the saints, which prepares one to have an objective understanding of reality, so necessary to religious formation.
So many compelling reasons that you give, and you sum it up so nicely that just across the board, it's an incredible option for families and really putting the freedom in their hands. Mary Ellen, you're the editor for Seton Magazine, which is the official publication of Seton Home Study, a preschool through grade 12, fully accredited distance school. And before we get too far into the show, we should clarify that the model of remote learning that we saw at the start of the pandemic was not how homeschooling is supposed to be. So for those who aren't familiar with homeschooling as it was designed, what are some of the advantages of educating children at your home?
Yeah, well, that pandemic model was not at all what homeschooling is, because homeschooling is a choice and you choose to bring your children home and you get to choose the curriculum and the style and the philosophy by which you homeschool them. And it's not just a packet of information and a teacher teaching your children. So you get to choose the pace, as Laura referred to, the pace at which your children learn. I have a child with significant learning disabilities, and it took him, say, about a year to learn division, and it took that long to learn division. So we took a year to learn division, and that was not a problem. I was not freaked out about it. It just took as long as it took, and he learned it. There was no teacher pushing him. There was no rush to do it. It just took as long as it took. And that's what, you know, that if that's what he needed, that's what we did. You can set the pace. We sometimes we school all year. Sometimes we do 6 weeks on, 2 weeks off. The parent gets to decide how they're going to homeschool. At Seton, we have families who do a variety of different ways. There are people whose military families, when the dad is deployed, they power through and do a lot of school. And when he's home for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, they don't do anything. They just enjoy time together as a family. If you're taking care of an elderly parent or mom is pregnant or, you know, whatever's going on in the family, you adjust. So learning becomes a lifestyle. And you don't do school, you do life together, and education is just part of that all the time. So that's not really a school at home model. That's an education as part of your life model.
And it's beautiful when you're homeschooling that you can see the way the education is integrated in every part of the day and how you function Yes. together as a family, especially when you have children who have needs that are a little bit different or on a different pace. So thank you for sharing about that. Paula, your online Catholic homeschool community offers support, engagement, and those practical resources for homeschooling families across the globe. And it's important for families to understand their why for homeschooling, whether that's for the individualized education for their children, to meet their family schedule or other needs. And you have an entire course on that in the Catholic homeschool community. So how would you invite parents to discern homeschooling, especially in light of your own entry into homeschooling?
Yeah, it's a great question, Debbie, because my own entry is probably not unlike a lot of other families. You know, I was unsure of that. I was feeling pretty much, I even said to my husband at one point, you know, families who homeschool, they are in a cult. This isn't something for me. And what I want to say is that with many families, the thing that's really, really at the heart of it is that you're being called. There's some tug. You know that there's something better out there, even if it's uncomfortable, like it was uncomfortable for me. And you can't stop that. And especially with the pandemic, one of the things that happened was families got to see just what their children were learning, and they knew there's something better. There's freedom. There's a way for you to be able to tailor the curriculum to your children. So I start with the why. Yeah, the why, which means to really get crystal clear as to why you want to homeschool. And you start by just having a conversation with your spouse, really through prayer. Talk to your spouse, say, what does education look like? And then look at the individual members of your family. And together, write it down, post it in the house, and revisit it often.
And what if you have a spouse who, or a parent who wants to homeschool, but their spouse is not totally on board yet? What would you recommend?
Oh, that, we hear that a lot in the community. Yes, because, you know, I really believe that what's important with all of this is that you understand that you have been given abundant graces through your yes to marriage, through the sacrament of marriage. So your husband, or your spouse, I should say, because there's men and women who homeschool, your spouse has ticket number one all the time. You're the foundation of your home, of your domestic church. So there has to be this harmony. This has to be a unity. And very often what happens is we don't have that core conversation about education. We just assume we know what each other means about education. But just like in a marriage, you're bringing in your past history, your past hurts or challenges or ideas on all aspects of parenting. Same goes with education. Have that conversation. Spend time talking to each other. There may be concerns that you had no idea about. So as long as you two, again, tap into the grace of yes of your marriage and be able to find that harmony with each other, that's first and central to any decision you make on education.
And then once you make the decision, God willing, that you would like to consider homeschooling, Laura, there are a number of really great options out there for homeschool families. So that's one of the decisions that you have to make together as a family too. Which curriculum are we going to use? So could you please explain how Mother of Divine Grace's model of classical education is different and how it sets families up for success?
Sure. So classical education is the education that built Western civilization. It starts in the liberal arts. The trivium and the quadrivium moves to the sciences and ultimately to natural and sacred theology. But it needs to be done appropriately for children, right? Following the natural stages of intellectual formation. I spent 10 years working on a curriculum that would incorporate the foundation of each of the arts and sciences and natural theology. And I realized at the end of 10 years that there were things that could have made this easier, right? And I built those into Mother of Divine Grace School. First of all, it would have been easier if I had someone to talk to who had actually done this in their own home with their own children. So every person, every family who enrolls in Mother of Divine Grace has an educational consultant who has actually done this in her own home with her own family, with whom she is paired and with whom she develops a relationship. I thought it would be nice to have evaluation of student work. I remember having one third grader and thinking, is this work good? Is it normal? Right? What's it like? So we have evaluation of student work worked into the structure of Mother of Divine Grace. I also recognize that every student is different. You need to individualize. Not everybody needs exactly the same thing. So we have one-on-one teachers who are available to meet with students. You don't have to, but they're available to meet once a week, twice a month, or once a month, depending on the needs of the family and the student. And finally, we have what we call learning support classes, which are synchronous online classes that provide constructive peer discussion on topics about the good, the true, and the beautiful in the various disciplines. So I think those things help.
It sounds like they do. And honestly, it's so important for parents to remember that when they make the decision to homeschool or to educate their children at home, they're not alone. And with Seton and Mother of Divine Grace and the Catholic homeschool community, you're not alone, and you're surrounded by people who want you to be successful. But Mary Ellen, there's no doubt that you have heard all of the misconceptions about homeschooling. So we're gonna hit those head on today. First, how would you respond when someone says, oh, your children need to go to school so they can be socialized?
I invite them to jump in my van and drive my kids to all their social things because Long Island is 144 miles long and I drive the length and breadth of it on a regular occasion, dropping kids off at things. But it baffles me that this still comes up because homeschooling is fairly common now and it does still come up. And so many years ago when I first started homeschooling, the reason that I chose to homeschool or start homeschooling or even think about it was socialization. My oldest son was fairly profoundly autistic and he was in school. He was in a public school and he was in a wonderful program and he was not being treated well. It was breaking my heart. And so I went to a homeschool group outdoor event. And these children, they just accepted him. He was playing with kids and he had never done that before. And I was in tears. They invited him to play. It was like Red Rover or some outdoor little boy game. And they just treated him like one of the guys. And he had friends. All of a sudden, he had friends. Kids were, you know, what's your name? Here, come play with us. And it didn't bother anybody that he was a little different. He was a little strange. He flapped his arms and he did odd things. Nobody cared about that. He was just another little boy to play with. And it dawned on me that these were children who were being socialized by the Ten Commandments. And I wanted that for my children. I wanted that more than anything. So, and that became what my husband and I decided to do, is to socialize our children, to see the face of Christ in everybody and to treat everybody that way. And that to me was more important than the academics or anything else that a school could give my children. I wanted my children to have that, what those children had, what their parents were giving them. And so socialization to me is the real gift of homeschooling, because they're doing God's work there. It was just so important to me that they had friends who were doing this, who were behaving this way, who saw a little boy who was just a little different and they included him. That's socialization to me. That's the kind of thing that changes the world.
Amen. When we have the opportunity to see the face of God in every person that we meet and helping our children cultivate that sense, it's so incredible. Yeah. And Paola, what would you say if a parent feels like they're unqualified to homeschool their children because they don't have a master's in education?
I would say you are qualified. You know, you don't even have to have my word for it. We have the word of a saint, okay? Pope St. John Paul II in his letter to families says it so clearly for any family. You have, and I love this, he talks about a profound, you know, competence because you are a parent. You know, parents are the first and most important educators in their children. You know, again, don't forget about the graces, but you don't have to have even a college degree. You can have, I know plenty of families that homeschool, their parents are only have high school degrees. And if you're worried about calculus, you can get tutors and you can outsource all those things. So you are absolutely more than qualified because you know your children best. And that is super powerful. That is so important. You know exactly what their needs are and you can tailor it. You see them day by day. It's really about forming a relationship with your child and that child forming a relationship with God. And it's really in homeschooling, you have the time to discern all of that.
Amen. And you also have those resources. These schools are set up to help parents be successful and help their children be successful. And Laura, this is a great segue into the next question, because I've heard the claim that homeschool high school graduates are somehow unprepared for college because their parents don't have masters in education or because they're not in a classroom being drilled with the same busy work over and over again. But in your decades of experience, what have you actually seen?
Yeah, nobody has to worry about that at all. I do understand, you know, I had that fear myself at one point, but all six of my kids went to Thomas Aquinas College. They all graduated. Four of them went on to get advanced degrees. The fact is that most of our students get into their first choice colleges and do very well there because they've learned how to learn. In fact, 20% of Thomas Aquinas College student body is made up of MODG students. Our students go to other good Catholic colleges, too. They go to Christendom, Wyoming Catholic, Ave Maria, Benedictine, the University of St. Thomas at Houston, and UD in large numbers. We get very positive feedback from the teachers at these schools. They also get into the big name schools regularly when that's their goal, CUA, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Stanford, the service academies. In our most recent graduating classes, it's been pretty consistent that between 70 and 75% of the graduating class attends a four-year college, 5% go to a community college, 4% enter the military or religious life, and the remainder take a gap year or enter a trade. Our average college entrance tests are consistently between 70 and 75 points higher than the national averages, and our graduating seniors in the last few years have consistently garnered $6 to $7 million in scholarship funds. Now, you know, I think Mother Find Grace is a good program, but I know these statistics are true of homeschoolers in general. There are many homeschoolers from various programs in these good schools. Homeschoolers learn how to learn, they are interested, and they are happy. They're ready to learn more. One telling point is that not infrequently, some of the students we have worried about academically in MODG have gone on to college and been A students and asked even to be teacher assistants. So that should set people's minds at rest. Homeschooling is about mastery education. Students learn and they do well. No one has to worry about whether they're prepared for college.
Amen. To parents, you can do it. You have a God-given right to do it, and you have an ever-growing community of fellow homeschooling families that will support you in your mission, and that is great news. As a fellow homeschooling parent, I want you to be successful as well. Now, Mary Ellen, for a family who is wanting to dive into homeschooling, what are some initial, we'll say, expectations that they can set for themselves so that they can be successful?
They should expect to pray a lot, and I mean that completely. You have to learn to rely on God. So start your morning with prayer, start your school day with prayer, end your day with prayer. You should expect to have never enough bookcases because now your life is going to be about reading and books. This is a lifestyle you are adopting. This is not something you are going to do, say, between 8 and 3, the way a brick and mortar school is. You're going to be learning all the time with your children. And that's a beautiful thing. It can feel a little overwhelming or daunting in the beginning, but it actually, once you kind of adopt the idea that it's a lifestyle and not a school day, you're really going to enjoy it. Expect to learn alongside your children and be with them through this whole process. I cannot tell you how much stuff I have learned with my children that I never learned in school. I went to college, I went to graduate school, and I've learned more in my homeschooling journey with my children than I ever did in any of that kind of stuff. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. I really have. Open yourself up to that learning and that experience and enjoy them and enjoy every minute of that experience. And there'll be hard days. They really will. I mean, there'll be hard days in anything you choose to do with your life. But if you expect it to be a lifestyle and something you find joy in, I promise you, you will. You really will. So rely on prayer, rely on good books, make the library part of your life. Otherwise, you'll just be in the poorhouse. But don't buy them all. Go to the library. Make friends with the librarian and buy a lot of bookcases and then make it your life. Make it your lifestyle.
And it's a beautiful lifestyle. Once you start to get into the swing and once you realize that you're doing something that's good for your children and for your family. And Paolo, you say that the process of getting into homeschooling doesn't start with choosing a curriculum. What does it start with then? And what's one piece of advice that you'd give to families who have particular hurdles, like maybe one specific thing they're worried about, like they're overwhelmed with all of the options or the cost or what it's going to be like to adjust to the home routines?
Super easy. Less is more. You know, by just focusing on the fact that you're in a lifestyle, that you've chosen something different than the world, less is more. It's not about checking off boxes. It's really about looking at your children and having the conversations about your heart for God, sharing that, you're passing on the baton of your faith. That's the first and most important reason. And then it's about the subjects, which will come with time. They will build slowly. You will gain confidence. You'll find the resources. So start small and then build out.
Amen. And just as a disclaimer, by the way, nothing in this show is meant to be taken as moral or legal advice. And we want families to remember that every state and even local school district will have different guidelines for homeschooling. So be sure to do your research so that you're ensuring that whichever educational path you choose for your family, that you are in accordance with your local and state laws. And speaking of the local laws, Laura, how can families ensure that they're in compliance with these laws, and how can they protect themselves from any hypothetical situations where they might need some legal advising?
Yeah, generally speaking, when I'm consulting with a family, I recommend two things. First of all, connect with the local homeschoolers, because the rules are different in different areas. In some states, you need to have a portfolio evaluated. In some places, what you need is proof of enrollment in a program like Mother Divine Grace or Seton or something like that. Some places, they want test scores sent in. Some places, like California, they just, unless you're in a school like Mother Divine Grace, they want you to register directly with the state. So get in touch with your local homeschooling community, because not only do they know, but they know who to connect with. If you have a portfolio that needs to be evaluated, it's a good idea to know who is used to working with the homeschooling community, who understands homeschooling, and have them be involved in that portfolio evaluation. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I always recommend that families join Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA. I recommend that, you know, for different reasons now than when I started homeschooling. When I started homeschooling, I was actually worried about that knock on the door, somebody saying to me, your children are truant. That doesn't happen now, as we've all been saying. There are so many people homeschooling. Homeschooling is a recognized, legitimate educational venue. But it is still the case that Homeschool Legal Defense Association has many resources. They do know all the state laws. They're ready to help you if you have a question. And should there be a situation where there is some kind of legal question, you have their backup. What I always think is, even if I don't need them, if there is some other homeschooling family out there who does, I'm happy that I'm supporting this, what is essentially a common good for the homeschooling community. So I recommend people join Homeschool Legal Defense.
And thank you so much for sharing about that organization, because it is helpful for so many families. It's one of those things where you hope you never have to use it, but for the legal services. But if you do need it, they're there for you. And Mary Ellen, as we're winding down the show, what is your parting advice that you would give to families who are on the fence about homeschooling?
Oh, that you can do this. You absolutely can do this. I mean, I am no smarter than you are. I'm no more organized. I'm certainly no more patient than you are. And I've been doing it for 21 years. And I've had my hot mess years, and I've had my great years. And every day I just wake up and say, God, just give me what I need to do this today. And I've done it. I've graduated four. Two have already graduated college. One just went right into the workforce. One is at Ave Maria University right now. He's a sophomore. I have great kids. They're doing really well. So I did it, you know, my husband and I did it with the grace of God. And you can absolutely do this. I do not have any superpowers. So if God placed it on your heart, he will give you what you need to do this. I don't know who said it, one of the saints, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, and he's certainly done that in my case. So if you are feeling like you really want to do this, I think he placed that on your heart, and he will give you what you need to do it. So don't let fear hold you back. Just step out and let him give you what you need.
Amen. And Paolo, we'll give you the last word today. There's simply too much information to share about homeschooling that we could squeeze into one single minute, 30-minute show. So for parents who still have questions, what would you suggest?
I would suggest plug out of social media and plug into, first and foremost, find a local community if you can, whether it's in your parish, or plug virtually into the Catholic homeschool community. We have tons of resources there. It's a safe place for you to ask those questions, the questions that you're pondering. First of all, you can do this. There's lots of support for that. But do also, there's nothing like finding a buddy locally, another homeschooling family locally to connect with, to help you. I remember those first years I had a buddy, I would call her, say, remind me why I'm doing this again. And that was life changing. You know, we are building Catholic culture through homeschooling. We are. And to do that, you cannot do that alone. Plug yourself into community, locally or virtually.
Amen. Because as parents, we're in this together. We all want to get our children to heaven and our families to heaven. And thank you so much for sharing, the three of you, about your families, your experiences. I know this is going to be a really important resource for parents. And so if you're tuning in right now and you want to share this information with somebody else, you can check out this full episode again and share it on EWTN's YouTube channel or at EWTN.com/on-demand. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me today. This has been a really, really great conversation.
You're welcome.
And thank you for joining us too. We hope to see you again next week right here on The Catholic Sphere.